أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear and honored respected Imam Sheikh Abdul Rahman, dear and honored respected ulama and elders, our respected fathers, our beloved mothers, brothers and sisters, and our innocent children, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know I haven't been here in a long time, Sheikh, but when Sheikh says senior ulama, then I must be getting old. Well, thanks and praises be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn unto Allah in eternal gratitude and praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's limitless bounties and favors which He bestows upon us every single living moment of our lives. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts, open our minds and our understanding. We're able to be cognizant and appreciate and understand the extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors. Even though Allah says in the Holy Quran, and if you should attempt to enumerate Allah's favors on you, you shall not be able to do so. And so the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are great. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the shakirin. Follow that illustrious example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his retort to his beloved wife Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, when he said unto her, when she commented on his intensity of his devotion and servitude unto Allah, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful and a appreciative slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our salawats and our love and salams upon him, upon his noble families, companions and friends, and all those who follow his divinely despised tariqah and sunnah path until the final hour. Allah make us all from among them. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, every Muslim should be following the events that are taking place in the Ummah throughout the world on a daily basis. For indeed, this is of the essential characteristics of a Muslim. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if your concern is not with the affairs of the Muslims or the believers, then you are not one of them. And it is needless to say that the extent and the enormity of the challenges that we as an ummah face in the world today, perhaps it's not an exaggeration to say that it is unprecedented. And so when of our friends who are non-Muslims, sometimes people that do not have faith, people of atheistic backgrounds, if they in our close circles or in our circles of association begin to ask questions, why is it that they see in the world that the Muslims are killing one another as they are? Then it becomes imperative for us to become reflective and to understanding how we feature and how we relate to those realities that are playing itself out in the Muslim world. And how is it that in our own personal capacities, we play a role towards the solution of the problems of the Ummah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For indeed, being a passive bystander is being part of the problem. If any of us think that we have the luxury of not concerning ourselves or focusing away from the state of the Ummah, then we are part of the problem too. Because it is that extent of ghafla, that lack of consciousness, that heedlessness, it is precisely that state of mind that has brought the Ummah into the morass that we found ourselves in this time and age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran speaks to us very explicitly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين. And obey Allah and His Messenger. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And do not fall into disputes and wrangling among one another. For if you do that, if you fall into wrangling, if you fall into factionalism, if you fall into dispute and sectarianism among one another, تَنَزَّعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. It is Allah's law. It is the law of Allah. It doesn't apply to believers, to non-believers exclusively or discriminately, no. It is Allah's universal law which applies to human endeavor on this earth. That you, when you as people, as communities, as human societies, fall into factionalism among one another, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you will fail. You will decline. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and your strength will depart. It's clear. It's a law. سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. You will never ever find, in the most minute way, divergence in the application of Allah's sunnah on this earth. Never. تَذَهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, power will depart, says Allah. Wasbiru, but be patient. Have patience with one another. Persevere in your attempts to remain united. Not to fall into wrangling. For indeed, says Allah, Allah are with those who so persevere, who so work hard, who so patiently strive. Probably the biggest challenge that face human society is to maintain unity. Probably. It's the hardest thing. It's hard work. It requires consistent, individual, collective exertion and striving for us to achieve that. And so peace, as is so cherished in Islam, it's not the absence of conflict. Peace is striving hard to maintain it, persevere to maintain it. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so explicit to us in terms hereof, then if you look again and reflect where we have arrived at this phase of the ummah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's history, then we find that it's because of the prevalence of these very realities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about. And so we are preoccupied with this. We are fixated on it. We have become obsessed with it. And we're just asking for more. And we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains yet again explicitly that this system of divide and rule is what the tyrants of the world use. Inna fir'auna 'ala fil ard wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. Indeed, Fir'aun was a tyrant who arrogated himself in this earth. And his strategy was to keep the people on the ground divided. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَا شِيَعًا. Divided into different sects. شِيَعًا. Different factions. That was his strategy. And that's the strategy, as Allah says, of tyrants, of dictators, of totalitarian regimes. That's what they do. They keep the people divided. And we are asking for more. We ask for more. We ask for more. We lap it up. We lap it up. And so we can't get enough of the sectarianism of Sunnis and Shi'is. We can't get enough. of Sufis and Salafis, we can't get enough. Of Barelvis and Deobandis, we cannot get enough. You name it. It seems we are some other people other than that illustrious example of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It seems we cannot understand that he had to contend with the same things in Al-Madina. But how did he respond? Like us, lapping up conflict, controversy, lapping up the type of conditions that of course cause these things to spread and spread and spread. They are the realities that are facing the Muslim world. Those are some of the realities. ما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم. Whatever afflicts you of calamity is what you have brought about with your own handiwork. So there are those issues. And we must bring this dimension in. Because as an ummah, we need to bring in the dimension of how the tyrants, they feed on this psychosis of ours. They feed on it. The phenomenon that the ulama are at pains internationally to denounce, that it can be a movement that portrays itself in the name of Islam, namely ISIS. It's instructive to me that this movement just pays no attention to the cause of all of these things in the Muslim world. The existence of the state of Israel and the international and the multinational global agenda that plays itself out in the protection of the state of Israel, and we are in the international Israeli apartheid week as we are standing. But that movement is just not bothered about that. It kills Muslims indiscriminately. Sunnis too. Don't be fooled by the calls that want to make you and me understand that that is a body that supposedly represents Sunni Islam. They kill Sunni Muslims too. And people, this is not what you get from websites and podcasts, and this is not what we get from WhatsApp messages. No, it's not. It's information that we get from the ground. And so, we need to bring in that dimension all the time and make ourselves far more conscious of also the forces that are at play and that exert every opportunity to keep the Muslims divided so that they can sit back and allow the Muslim ummah to cause their own decline. And so, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know so beautifully, we learn in the seerah, how Medina society comprised of three social structures, societal components. There were the believers, the mu'minun. There were the Ahlul Kitab. And the other sector of the society was the munafiqun. We learn this in the seerah. This is how we learn it. The believers, the Ahlul Kitab, and the munafiqun. What does nifaq mean? Nifaq means, this is again the very common definition, is to conceal your kufr and to express Islam outwardly. Express Islam outwardly. And to conceal kufr. That's what the munafiqun were. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recipient of wahi, knew exactly who they all were. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, not only the Prophet, seemingly this was common knowledge in Medina society, that he was Ra's al-Munafiqun. The head of al-Munafiqun. What was the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And for lack of time, if you look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and remember people, you know, our ulama sometimes, in our enthusiasm, we bring out the worst khutrs, issues, the worst things of how the mothers of the believers are insulted, deemed as prostitutes. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. To what end? To create these emotions of hatred. That doesn't mean we cannot educate. Doesn't mean we cannot educate. We have the obligation to educate. But educate can never be spreading of hatred. Never. Education can never be the spread of hatred. Never. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was the author of the ifk. He was the author, the original author of the ifk, of the slander and the calumny against our mother of the believers, Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. How did the Prophet ﷺ interact with him? As we said, for time. Nabi ﷺ on his deathbed, went to his deathbed and made dua for him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu became very uncomfortable. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we cannot, how is this possible? You see, Ya Umar, خيرني ربي. خيرني ربي. Allah gave me a choice. Allah says in the Quran, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. Make dua for them, استغفار for them, or don't make استغفار for them. إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة لن يغفر الله لهم. Allah says, if you should ask dua, make istighfar for them 70 times, Allah says, Allah will never forgive them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Umar, maybe if I make dua and istighfar for him more than 70 times, perhaps. Further than that, he died. When he died, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the salat with janazah on him. It was only after that, and this is one of the incidences obviously that the ulama of tafsir and the ulama of history record as of the part of the muwafaqat of Sayyidina Umar, where the revelation finally and eventually came down in conformity with the vision or the opinion of Sayyidina Umar. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا. After this, no Muhammad, don't make salatul janazah on any one of them. Look at the attitude of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can this be comparable to the spreading of hatred among people? And so, the examples abound. We need to reflect inwardly. If we are going to be able to... You know, we once attended in Doha an international ulama gathering. And in this gathering, we were being addressed by Khalid Mish'a. And the one thing, this was in April last year, that he chose to address the ulama on was the question of idaratu sirar. Idaratu sirar. The question of conflict management. How do we manage conflict? Conflict is a natural part of life. Differences of opinion is a natural part of life. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. It's a natural phenomenon of the sunnah of Allah, of life on this earth. Had it been His will, says Allah, and it's not the will of Allah, then Allah would have made you all one people. But they will continue to have differences among one another. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ So the requirement for us to have ittihad and have wahda, have unity with one another, is that we should be able to work hard despite our differences. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith in conclusion, narrated by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira, which are the essence of this ummah and its woes for us to be able to really cling together and keep and work together. It's the basic things in life. We want this ittihad in unity to be in the Muslim world. It will not be there if we don't work on it here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تحسدوا. Don't be mutually jealous of one another. وَلَا تَنَاجِشُوا. Don't be suspicious of one another. وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. And do not spread hatred among one another. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And do not conspire against one another. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءِ بَعْضٍ. And do not one another betray your business dealings with one another. Don't betray your Muslim brother in his business dealings. لَكِنْ كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. But be slaves of Allah as one brethren. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. The one Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. لَا يَظْلِمُهُ. He does not do injustice to him. وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ. He does not look down on him. وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ. And he does not humiliate his brother. بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرِّ. It is sufficient for a human being, for any person of wickedness. أَن يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. That he looks down on his Muslim brother. And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa hahuna. Here is taqwa. This is taqwa. Taqwa is in the hearts. Says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Muslim ala al-Muslim haram. The one Muslim is haram on another Muslim. Damuh wa maluh. وَعِرْضُهُ. His blood is haram. His possessions are haram. And his dignity and his honor is haram. I've also been asked to reflect on this Israeli apartheid week. But if Allah and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs that Allah deems it far more grave in Allah's sight that you raise the Kaaba to the ground than to trample on the dignity of a believer. In these issues, if that is the Kaaba, and that is Masjid al-Aqsa, and that is Masjid al-Nabawi, and we're talking about the dignity of believers, the dignity of the Muslim ummah in the world today, then where must our? We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and our minds. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this ummah to the realization of the importance of spreading the love among themselves. Spreading ukhuwah among themselves. Not hatred. If you're a spreader of hatred, you're going to claim in your mind and maybe in your hawa and in your nafs that you're doing this in the name of Islam. You are not doing it in the name of Islam. We must educate. We must continue to educate. Education empowers. Education erudites. Education does not raise a generation of hate mongers. Education does not generate a generation or raise a generation of people that only think that only what we are and who we are the only ones of those who will be going to Jannah. The rest of you are going to be rotting in the fire of Jahannam. That's not what education does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.